Calgary summers may be short, but Sportsnet 960 is always on. No matter the news, we have it first. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. We do the research, filter out the crap, add some opinion, and fire it up for you on the drive home. Headlines start now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. Last chance, Calgary. Save up to $4,000 on the 2015 Audi Q5. Drive it today at Glenmore Audi. Visit glenmoreaudi.com for details.
Coming up at 6 o'clock, game two of the three-game set between the Texas Rangers and the Jays down in Arlington. Game three goes tomorrow. We'll have it for you at noon, which means it'll be a little bit of a later start for us in the afternoon, but we're happy to do it. There's a lot of interest in the Jays these days. As well, Rob Volman will join us, and then in studio in the 5 o'clock hour, some special guests from the Calgary Inferno, including Jenna Cunningham. But right now, speaking of special guests, special guys, friends of the program. What? Why are you giggling? Why are you laughing?
I'm trying
to give you an introduction. Yeah.
Okay. He's paid to be here.
Walter, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, well, this news made it yesterday, and it's not, you know, groundbreaking hockey news, but a couple of hockey notes to pass along. The Vancouver Canucks yesterday signing forward Adam Cracknell to a two-way contract worth $575,000, originally selected by the Calgary Flames back in 2004, made his NHL debut with the Blues in 2010-11. He's got 6 goals and 11 assists in 82 games with St. Louis and Columbus. And the Pittsburgh Penguins today signing forward Tom Sestito to a professional tryout contract. The 27-year-old played 3 games last year with Vancouver, recording 1 assist. He's got 10 goals and 8 assists in over 137 career games with Columbus, Philadelphia, and Vancouver.
Well, Tom's, you know, a big guy. We know that. There's a handful. I see the Islanders have invited 4 players to camp on PTOs. Bruce, I have to think that within the next 2 weeks, as we get closer and closer to camp, that's going to become a big story. Because, boy, there's some familiar names, some really good NHL pedigrees and resumes out there that don't have deals. I wonder how many of these guys are going to get chances.
Yeah, there's a defenseman everyone thought was going to be a really big guy in early days of July who is still sitting out there.
Cody Franson.
And did he misread the market? Does he have something else in mind? You know, what's plan B for him?
Yeah.
I still don't think it's necessarily a mistake for a guy to be here at this time of the year. Teams have sort of looked at the market and seen where things have gone, et cetera. And I think Cody Franzen will find a place, and he'll find a place where he can play.
What's the move, though? I mean, if you were his agent, if you were his advisor, and you're in his ear, is it to take a PTO, or is it to wait for an injury in training camp? Because inevitably, there will be a significant defenseman get injured in a team looking.
I don't think I'd do a PTO, to be honest with you. I think I would wait for somebody to get hurt, because we've seen in the past it gives you the leverage again.
Right.
Right now he's waiting to see where the leverage is. Now, you know, apropos what we saw with Rich Winter earlier, talking about the market, how it's changed, is that going to affect him? Maybe now in terms of term, he's maybe looking at 1 or 2 years.
What about a 32-year-old Stephen Weiss, was with Detroit, you know, his centerman?
It's one of the big disappointments. Just a guy who was supposed to, you know, he went to Florida. It's a hopeless situation.
But that's it right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
That how many of those guys from the Panthers had inflated value while they were there? And boy, if you just
high draft picks,
sure,
most of them.
But I mean, Olli Jokinen, right? I mean, the Calgary Flames salivated over Olli Jokinen for all of those years, and he goes to Phoenix, and then they finally get him from Phoenix. And he's, you know, he's traded a year later, brought back, all of that. You know, Weiss is like that. There's been a handful of those. Nathan Horton's an injury. That's not the same thing. But, you know, there's been a handful of those guys that have come out of there and just they haven't been what you thought they were. They were trapped in Florida. They did what they could in Florida, but they weren't making your team better.
It's a terrible environment. Terrible environment for a young guy. And I mean, it's not dissimilar in some ways to what's happened up in Edmonton with all the young guys there who were supposed to have changed. Each of them in their turn was supposed to be the guy who would turn the franchise around. Didn't happen.
You know, Curtis Glencross is another guy who's, you know, out there right now with no deal. You know, I'm just looking at the list of, you know, Marcus Kruger's an RFA. That's different. James Shepard has found work the last couple of years in San Jose and the Rangers. He's kicking around. Danny Paille, you know, Patrick Coletta, if you're looking for a disturber. Timmy Gleason's a 32-year-old defenseman who's probably a little bit too slow. David Schlemko. You know, and I know Pat and I have had this conversation. Most of us on this radio station have had this station. I thought he was serviceable for Calgary. I didn't know
Didn't embarrass himself.
No. And, you know, on a, I think if we learned anything, teams have got to have depth on that, in that position. Mm-hmm. I thought Schlemko would find work. He hasn't found work. There's another guy that, you know, is he looking at a PTO? Probably.
Probably in his case, yeah. I mean, a guy like Franzen, I think, has enough of a rep that he could play it the other way. But Schlemko's got to start thinking. You know, if the Franzen start to tumble going into training camp, then maybe his number gets called. But right now, they're not calling him when Franzen's still sitting out there.
I look at, there's a lot of, you know, have we seen the last of Scott Hannon? Probably. You know, have we seen the last of Eric Brewer? Yeah, I think so. Brian Allen, probably. Mm-hmm. You know, what about a Scotty Upshaw at 31? Does Scotty Upshaw have upside for anybody?
Yeah. Well, again, you mentioned it earlier. The key thing is injuries.
Yep.
Long season.
Yep.
Depth, etc. Sit tight if you want to play some more.
Yeah.
The beach, unless the organizations are telling you you're too expensive. For Scotty Upshaw, will he come back and play for the kind of money they're going to offer? Yeah, they're going to need you, but will they still offer you the money you want?
Right.
You know, self-respect, etc.
Yuri Tolusti's 27 years old, and he's kicking around out there.
Another product of that Leaf machine.
Yeah. Well,
the Toronto Blue Jays, as you guys know, are in action tonight as they continue their series in Texas against the Rangers. But this afternoon, getting some help as the Houston Astros in the Bronx to take on the Yankees.
Driven deep to left field. There it goes. What a blast. See ya. Into the bleachers for Evan Gattis. And the Astros lead 6-2.
Evan Gattis, two home runs.
That is the most, lethargic see ya that I've ever seen.
3-2. Driven deep to left field. There it goes. What a blast. See ya.
So that would be the Yankees.
That's Yankees. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You mean... it'd be hard to find one, but when they hit one.
Well, we saw it live here. We were watching on the monitor.
See ya.
And it was a see ya.
Oh. And the Yankees got their doors blown off last night by the Astros.
15-1 last night, this afternoon, losing 6-2. So they dropped 2 of 3 to the Astros, and the Blue Jays will enter action tonight with a 1.5 game lead
on
those Yankees.
And fortunately, New York's a very stable market, so they'll handle that well.
It was an up and away.
Right.
Those Blue Jays, as I mentioned, in action tonight against Texas. Coming into action, riding a 4-game winning streak. Sportsnet's Shai Davidi says this Blue Jays team, the dominance becoming more evident as the days go by.
The depth of this lineup is really become an issue for opposing teams. And, you know, now that they've got the pitching and the bullpen to pull things out in close games and be able to get out of sticky situations when they arise, you're really seeing it becoming even more complete.
And Robert, to answer your question.
Yes, who's pitching?
He's celebrating his 30th birthday. David Price on the hill for the Blue Jays tonight, 6:05 first pitch. We've got it for you, Sportsnet 9-6 of the Fan. You can also watch it on Sportsnet West.
Say, David's going to sign with the Jays again next year, right? They're going to be able to keep this guy, right?
Let's just say that
shouldn't
we
have this deal done? Isn't this deal done yet?
Well, I don't know that they can do it at this moment, but I have a feeling that if this doesn't work and the Jays lose, let's say, in the first round of the playoffs, it's going to be a very messy winter because they've spent a lot of coin to get this team together.
They're absolutely red hot. They're rolling all of those things, and thankfully for them, they are. If they're 500 after this, that would be the big story right now. Is what about David Price? Is David Price going to sign? They're just rolling right now. Last night, what a situation as a manager. I would imagine even as players, but particularly as a manager, to know that you're just, not that they were a lot of runs out of it, Bruce, but they were always playing from behind.
Yeah.
But they caught up. They passed.
It was an amazing game.
They just do what they
it
do,
really
right?
It really was an amazing. And what I said yesterday, I want to see Texas was 8-2 going into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Hot team.
Mm-hmm.
You could see off the hop. They rebounded from getting behind. They went ahead up by 2 runs. But I said, let's see what happens to Texas when they get the counterpunch, because the Blue Jays can counterpunch like nobody's business this season. We'll see what team shows up today for Texas. Just, you know, Minnesota and the other series,
Anaheim,
which is so with Anaheim.
Yeah.
They got knocked on their heels, and they were wiped out in the series. So we'll see if Texas can hold their poise here at home against the Blue Jays tonight. And David Price is not going to give away any freebies, so we'll see.
Nope.
Good first half of his rookie season, and a promising rookie year for Devin Travis appears to be coming to an end. As manager John Gibbons saying today, don't expect the second baseman back at any point this season as he suffers a setback as he tries to return from that shoulder injury. It all started way back in April 30th in Cleveland when he took that one hopper off his collarbone, missed the 36 games in a row, came back to play 26 games before going down again in July in Philadelphia and hasn't been back since. So a tough break for the Blue Jays. The second baseman won't be back, but I guess the play of Ryan Goins has made that all right with the departure of a guy like Travis.
It's almost like that we're talking about a previous season when Devin Travis was the bright spot on the Blue Jays. Yep. He was okay. They're going to be getting rid of Encarnacion and these guys at the trade deadline, and he's a guy to build around. It's almost like another era that we're talking about.
Oh, it really is.
Yeah.
You go back to just 3 months ago. We were talking on Monday about the, you know, the playoff percentage chances even a month ago and where they're at. This is a completely different ball club. And Bruce, to your comment about the impact of the Tulowitzkis and the Donaldsons and things like that, carrying itself as a different ball club right now, too.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I'll be interested to see just, you know, how it all plays out. But Devin Travis was a great trade. And listen, the Tigers are, I think they're happy with Anthony Gose. He's done a decent job for them in center field.
Mm-hmm.
He still thinks he should be hitting 30 home runs a year, and it has too big a swing. But, you know, he's a good defensive player and can steal a base here and there. So good for both teams.
PGA champion Jason Day is withdrawn from the Pro-Am at the Barclays today after tweaking his back last night, moving an item under his motor coach when he tweaked his back. His trainer says Day withdrew from the Wednesday Pro-Am because of a long-standing disc issue. The Australian wants the day to rest so he can play in the tournament over the weekend. Expected to tee off tomorrow in the opening round with Jordan Spieth and Bubba Watson.
Man, he's strong. Holy mackerel. When you see these tournaments, these guys are hitting drives 360, 370 yards and basically blowing it by all of the trouble the designer put out there for you. Yeah, to heck with that. Just going to fly all over.
Yeah.
And then you're hitting par fives, driver wedge. Whoa, man, I mean, it's just a total other game. Other game. And it leaves two-thirds of the tour behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Day is. Spieth isn't as long.
Yeah.
There's some other guys who belt the ball. Obviously, Bubba can hit it a long way and move the ball around. There's about five or six guys at the top here who, if you have a certain course, the head, hands, and feet advantage above everyone else.
No Rory this weekend? Is that right?
It's the playoffs. I don't know. I think Rory's taking this week off. I think he's high enough. He doesn't need it. But if he wants to win, he's got to come back next week.
Okay.
And to wrap things up on headlines, not an impact signing by any means, but yesterday, late last night, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Michael Vick come to an agreement on a one-year contract.
Apparently everybody's happy in Pittsburgh with that.
Well,
it's National Dog Day, so they're not too happy.
John Steigerwald, who's a writer in Pittsburgh, has been there for a long time. Yeah. He's been very, very pointed on the internet about dogs and stuff. And listen, as a dog owner, I understand how they feel.
It's been an interesting, you know, in terms of careers, you know, that arc and watching him, you know, be punished and come back and
go to jail.
And as I say, then come back and get the retribution. And, you know, this is an observation, not a defense of. This is now coming back. This is the third team, right? Or the fourth team?
Yeah, played Philadelphia, New York Jets, and now Pittsburgh.
Right, okay. Yeah. Yet, you don't get a freebie on that one. You don't get a pass.
No.
It's going to haunt you. You carry that baggage. And guess what? Nobody feels sorry for you.
No.
Nobody feels sorry for you.
And it's what you do with your life afterwards. We've had terrific sinners in history who've turned their lives around and done stuff. And that's incumbent upon Michael Vick to say, that was my past and here's my future. And I'm trying to redeem myself and give me a chance. Although I don't hear that too much out of Michael Vick.
No, we don't. And I'll throw a little plug in. I mean, we had DeQuinn Evans in yesterday from the Calgary Stampeders, a young man who at 12 was in jail for the first time. He'd go back, spent as much as 16 months in jail. He was, you know, part of the Crips and never played high school football and then used football and his own personal strength to get out of, you know, to get out of that lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
get to the NFL and out of the CFL. So, you know, celebrate the successes, right? And those who are humble about it.
And it's another thing that bothers me when I hear people wailing away on pro sports and, you know, in the city here, we've had it recently, millionaire athletes and we're building them a stadium. So many of these people, you know, are testaments to human endurance and to taking it, coming back from a bad situation, or even more important, using sport to get themselves out of a bad situation. And that's just one of hundreds of stories we could talk about. And I wish they would understand that sports is not, it's not a glory boy thing. It's for a lot of people, it's a way into a better life.
No, it's a business.
It is that too. And it's cruel and harsh.
Absolutely.
It gives people a chance.
To that end, just a reminder that tomorrow morning from 7 to 8, Ken King and I will be taking your phone calls on this very radio station about Calgary next. So if you're driving to work and you've read something, you've seen something, you got a question on the project, you've got a question on you know, why you should support it, call Ken. Ask Ken.
Who's buying breakfast, you or Ken?
Probably me.
Okay.
I'll bring McMuffins in or whatever. Will, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll take a break. Still to come this hour, we'll hear from Rob Volman with Hockey Abstract. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, some special guests in studio, including Jenna Cunningham from the Calgary Inferno. They got a big weekend coming up. Well, it's a big week, quite honestly. In November, Boomer and Rhett are off to Mexico. They'll be broadcasting live from the Royal Decameron Complex November 20th to 27th. You can call Marlin Travel right now. Tell them why you're in before space runs out. Check them out on the web for more information, marlintravel.ca/1479. Boomer and Warner, hockey in Mexico with Marlin Travel and Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Right here, and funny enough, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is proud to talk Calgary sports all summer long. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. Last chance, Calgary. Save up to $4,000 on the 2015 Audi Q5. Drive it today at Glenmore Audi. Visit glenmoreaudi.com for details. Calgary, the boys on the big show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
He's helped turn this franchise around here in the last few years, and speeding up the process. And I think, you know, it's well deserved. You know, I think for years to come, I don't think you could ask for a better leader in the game to help lead your franchise.
Matt Stajan. Yes, it was Darryl Hammond.
Yeah.
Not that. That was Matt Stajan talking about Mark Giordano. As you can only appreciate, prior to us coming on the air, a rather in-depth conversation of actors portraying Colonel Sanders. Darryl Hammond is one of them,
yes.
And now Canadian Norm MacDonald, another one. It has nothing to do with Mark Giordano or Matt Stajan, other than the fact that Matt Stajan already commented on the fact that he expects Mark to buy some team dinners. Maybe those team dinners will be buckets from KFC.
Well,
possibility.
I would think this year it's Dougie Hamilton's job to buy the meals, because he's making more than Gio this year.
That's right. The extension doesn't kick until next year.
He's making more, so he should be taking.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. That's
the captain for dinner.
See, when do you do that? Because he signed an extension. Dougie Hamilton's a UFA.
Yeah.
So when are you actually on the hook? You know, in the case of Giordano having to buy.
This year.
Okay, so Giordano doesn't buy a team meal then. To celebrate his new contract until next year.
Until the money comes
right.
in.
At which point, right? The dollar goes to it's a $1.25, a 50 cent swing in 12 months. And oh my God, the captain's making peanuts.
Have you seen Rob Kerr's currency video? $1.25 Canadian dollar this time next year.
The worrisome part I have is the slow people out there who just want to hear something on the radio, and that's good enough. Some guy on the radio said the dollar's going to $1.25. Really? Who? Oh, I don't remember who.
Well, you know, people who listen to the show are getting in and out of cars all the time.
All the time.
Right? All the time.
All
getting
the
in
time.
Out of cars. Or
all the
pulling
time.
Up to roll-ins.
Right.
You're going into the Timmy's and you turn the volume down.
Yeah.
I'd like the BLT on the cheese bagel, and then you turn the volume up, and then $1.25 to the dollar next year. What did I miss?
Everybody knows that next year the dollar will be at $1.25. You're right. Guilty as charged.
Your fault.
Available online right now on demand, I believe, is your interview. Will, is it on demand yet?
Yeah, it's just going up
right now. Conversation that you had with the agent for Mark Giordano, the legendary Rich Winter, longtime player agent who has seen this business from many different angles. Conversation, Bruce, wide-ranging and very insightful from the perspective of the agent and kind of the, you know, here we talk all the time about, well, you know, the Flames cap. Well, they played Lance Boma too much. They didn't pay Paul Byron enough. Very interesting to hear the things that Rich Winter brings into a conversation. And I said at the time, and I'm not saying this to try and be cheeky, dude drops the solar power situation in Alberta and the Chinese economy as factors and things that have to be taken into consideration when you're looking at a player signing a deal.
Yeah.
Not so much stick allowances, Not so much, you know, where does he fit on the player chart? Mm. You know, when you're putting together this kind of deal, there's a lot of factors that one might just not pay close enough attention to, which you wouldn't be doing your client the right service.
I disagree with him about the solar power thing, but other than that, yeah. At least he brought it into the conversation.
He brought it into the conversation,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm paying you a compliment. Run with it. Bruce, it was a great conversation because you turned back the carpet. He turned back. See ya. He turned back the curtain on, I thought, some real interesting things. You brought it up yesterday about how
I'm
the
doing
Canadian
the Mika Kiprasov interview.
No,
yes.
You're doing what?
Yes,
your friend that you called a couple of weeks ago. You still there? Yeah, I'm waiting for an intelligent question.
John Gordon, the golfer.
Yeah, no. The point being, you talked yesterday about what a 75-cent Canadian dollar. Here we are bemoaning it if we're traveling down there. We're going to go to Disneyland or whatever. Boy, that's a kick in the pants. But for somebody like Mark Giordano, that might have been the difference here.
Yeah, It's a different situation if you're a Canadian and you're staying in Canada and you're spending your money in Canada and you're making U.S. dollars.
Right.
And in those situations across the country, P.K. Subban, for instance, all of those guys who got those contracts just got a huge raise.
Mm-hmm.
P.K. is up, what was he, $9 million?
He's $9 million. Right now, in terms of actual cap hit per year, he is number one in defensemen at $9
million. And those are U.S. dollars.
Right.
So now he's just had like a 30% raise in Canadian dollars. He's living and working in Montreal.
Yep.
And of course, the Quebec tax rate is 95%. So he'll take home $4.07 after that. But, you know, it's nice.
Then you'd have to take that in consideration here, right?
But tax rates are extremely important. And Rich talked about that briefly, that you have to take them into. And again, Gio was looking at it and saying, well, okay, you know, I could move to another place, but then the whole raise might get consumed by taxes. Or the housing cost, or whatever it is.
We had Elliot Friedman on yesterday, and I tried to implore both you and Friedman to join me in building a statue of Bradtree Living for the town square.
Yes.
I was making the point that, you know, Bradtree Living has gone out. He's made a couple of prudent moves this summer. He got his captain to a new deal. For a guy that's, you know, a year and a bit into his job, he signed Devin Setoguchi. That didn't work out. I know that some still are upset about, you know, some of the smaller contracts or smaller. Some of the different lower down in the depth chart players, Derek Englund, some are still mad about Lance Boehm, all these things. Uh-huh. But overall, guy's done a pretty good job. One of the things that was in your conversation with Rich was, you know, a question you asked, what about dealing with the Flames now as opposed to before? And he's very complimentary about the Flames right now.
Yeah, the fact that it's a professional group. And, you know, he's not sitting there to slag Jay Feaster or Daryl Sutter, but what he's doing is talking about the brain power they can bring to issues now with Brian Burke there as a person to consult with, you know, the other people they brought in terms of analytics, the people they brought in to determine health and training and all those kinds of things. It's a bigger group. It's a better group. And it's a smarter group. And it's in some cases, I think in Toronto, they've hired too many people. But that's a reflection of Brendan Shanahan's inexperience. Here in Calgary, where you have a couple of guys in Brian Burke and Tree Living who've been around for a while, you know, I don't think they need as many a big name people. They don't need Jacques Lemaire to just stand there and open the door.
No, but what they have are two really young and hungry lieutenants in Conroy and Pascal that are, you know, are loving the work opportunity, the chance to scout or chance to run an American League team, to do all those things to cut their teeth. They're enthusiastic and share kind of the same vision that way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting to hear somebody from the outside talking about the organization that, let's say, you're a fan of and that they feel it's in good hands. Mm. But as we talked about yesterday, Peter Chiarelli was a genius until he wasn't. And Boston was the everybody's model.
And
the New Jersey Devils were everybody's model. It can change quickly.
No, it doesn't
mean the guy's getting dumber. It doesn't mean he hasn't had good ideas. It means that fate has intervened and a couple of things got in your way.
Bruce, you're bang on, because I think it would be hypocritical to sit here and not acknowledge that when Daryl Sutter signed Jerome Iginla, Dion Phaneuf, Mika Kiprasov, Damon Lanko, Robin Regier, all of those deals, kept all of them. And we all around here went, wow, that was, look at what he did. Got his core. He wasn't going to be able to do it. He can keep three, keep two, but he can't keep five. He kept all five. Then he goes out and gets Jay Bouwmeester. What a deal. What an incredible deal. In the end, all of those, save maybe the Mika Kiprasov, but we knew Mika Kiprasov was never going to play that final year.
Right.
All of those ended up being controversial. All of those ended up being, you know, sticking points for fans, for the media, and everything. Yeah. It's exactly what you said. You're the genius today, but wait till you're not the genius, because we'll remind you.
And there are a few teams out there who have signed people to term on contracts in the last little while, who basically appreciate that the last 2 or 3 years, possibly, of those terms are going to be dead money situations, but they need to do something now. They need to win. I'm trying to remember a couple off the top of my head, but ones we've seen.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're hovering on winning, and they're going, you know what? We understand that in 3 years from now, we can get our heads kicked in on this, but boy, I got to win now. So we'll give them 6 years. We'll take those first three, and then we'll try our luck.
I think Dallas has got a couple of those contracts.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's, you know, a handful of those contracts around the league for sure.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember one specifically, but yeah. It's just, and boy, those years are going to be real tough if this cap doesn't go anywhere.
I mean, the Parisi.
So you're asking about advertising on jerseys?
Yeah.
And you're looking at a cap going down, Gary Bettman not wanting that message to be sent out to the industry that things aren't good in their business? You're going to get logos on those jerseys so we can get the cap up.
So when John Shannon writes a column at sportsnet.ca saying, Quebec might not be a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Bruce, I'm of the opinion that both Quebec and Vegas are in. How do you turn away that money?
Well,
how do your owners walk away from that
money? How do you create a process in good faith and tell people that all they have to do is do what we ask them to do, and then at the end say, oh, never mind.
Yep.
That's what concerns me.
You guys are okay. You're not really what we were looking for.
Yeah.
Right?
We were
hoping for Toronto.
Yeah.
Or Seattle. Yeah. They're really cool.
Like, we went to the dance and we asked all the girls interested in dancing with us, step forward. And the ones we wanted to dance with stayed on the wall, and two or three others came forward and go, well, how do I tell them?
Yeah, no,
they
uggos?
Just get one dance and that's
no uggos. Is that what it is?
I never say words like that. I am not that kind of person.
Really?
I don't use that kind of language.
No.
I have a daughter.
I apologize.
You have two daughters.
I do too.
You shouldn't.
I was an uggo. I'm an uggo. I don't think it's a gender specific term, is it? I don't think I'm slamming one gender or anything like that. Oh. I thought it was.
We never used it on guys.
Well, I think it's been used on me. I don't know about you. You're a handsome man, sure. You've done all the damage you can do?
Have you tried shaving once in a while?
I don't like it.
Shave tomorrow for Ken.
I will. You can read it right now at sportsnet960.ca, something like that.
I don't
Sportsnet.ca/960.
Is that what it is?
You're the one who works here.
I don't work here. I just show up and they let me in. You can read
We've
the top 10 greatest moments in Calgary sports history as written by our partner here, Bruce Dobigan. The start of what we hope is a series of I Don't Like Monday columns that will appear as well.
We're trying.
There you go.
Rob, see you tomorrow, pal.
Thanks, buddy. Rob Volman around the corner. Speaking of tomorrow, we'll be bringing you the Jays at noon against Texas in Game 3 of that series. Game 2's tonight. But tomorrow at noon, the Jays, and immediately following that, Bruce and I will take over. We're going to be up at Winsport. The Canadian National Sledge Team is having their development camp, and they've issued a little bit of a challenge, a little bit of an opportunity, and we're going to take them up on that. Coming back, Rob Volman, later on, a conversation with...
Don't get injured so I have to do the whole show myself.
Yes, that's going to be my purpose tomorrow, not to get injured. I don't want to stick you with having to carry the show. We have some very special guests from the Calgary Inferno, including one of their superstars, Jenna Cunningham, will be in the studio. That's all coming up. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960. Talking sports all the time. No radio? No problem. Download the Rogers Radio app and never be without Sportsnet 960 again. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Talking hockey in the afternoon, the big show with Rob Kerr and Pat Steinberg is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Pat back with us on Monday, tomorrow morning between 7 and 8 o'clock, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Thanks to Ryan and Peter Labardius. They're going to step aside and allow me to bring Ken King in for one full hour, a first of a series of Sportsnet 960 Town Halls on Calgary next. The arena, the field house, the vision that the... Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation released last week. Ken will take your phone calls, your texts on that particular matter. So if you've been reading, if you've been following along and you've got some thoughts, you got some questions, concerns, some issues, some things that you want Ken to address, your opportunity tomorrow morning from 7 to 8 o'clock. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, some very special guests live in studio. The Calgary Inferno are going to be busy this weekend, and we'll find out why. But right now, it's Wednesday. That means it's time for Hockey Abstract with our good friend Rob Volman from HockeyAbstract.com. Have you recovered yet?
My feet have finally swollen.
I was going to say, you were on the ice a lot this weekend.
Yeah, I was on the ice 6 hours each day. So that's 12 hours. And I was pretty sore by the end. But it was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was. Thank you for helping out, Rob. Of course, one of our volunteers this year at our Calgary Flames Sports Check Summer Development Camp. And not only were you helping on the ice, you were also helping officiate a couple of the big games, which were tight, close this year.
Yeah, I think both games were, what were they, 8-7?
Yeah.
Good old-fashioned 80s hockey, 8-7 hockey games. Yeah, I worked the lines. Actually, it was Darren Haynes that was the stripes. He's the one that got the abuse, but I was on the lines. And I had a pretty lax policy, too. I pretty much gave them all sort of 1970s Montreal Canadiens extra couple stride offside calls, you know?
Let him play. Just let him play, right? Right, absolutely. Rob, let's get into it. Boy, it's never been dull as you rejoin the program a day after the top priority of the Calgary Flames this summer, as stated by the general manager, was to get their captain under contract. Well, they did that. Mark Giordano signing a six-year deal that will pay him $6.75 million. Now, in terms of the media, the team, the player, everybody heralding this deal, positive one, the captain stays. But want to bring you into it from an analytical standpoint, from what you do. How do you evaluate this deal?
Well, I've gotten that question the past day because everybody remembers me jumping on the Ryan Kesler deal when that was signed with Anaheim, which was actually a fairly similar deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Kessler's actually a year younger than Giordano. But, I mean, I do see the parallels there. But, of course, there is a big difference. As I've said many times, teams do have to take risks to build towards windows. You do have to take on some sometimes risky long-term deals for veterans in order to hit that window. That's what Anaheim is doing right now with Ryan Kesler, and that's what Calgary is doing, I'd say, within the next 2-3 years by getting Giordano on this deal. And if you're not prepared to sign your captain and your, quite frankly, your franchise player, your best player,
yep,
to that sort of deal, then, you know, you're probably not happy with your lineup in general, and you're going to try to build for another window. But that's clearly not the case. They're happy with their team, and they're happy to take those risks, but obviously the last 3 years of that deal or so, yeah, those are going to be pretty tough.
A couple of things about Giordano from an analytics standpoint. One, because I do encourage people to go to your website, hockeyabstract.com, and your player usage charts are a huge help for me, and they're a big tool. And, you know, you look at Mark Giordano, and I guess mostly his partner has been TJ Brody this past season. They, in terms of player usage, I mean, they are up there in the league in terms of toughest competition, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically since Jay Bouwmeester and Robin Regier left town, Mark Giordano has been handling all the tough minutes for the Calgary Flames on the blue line, along with TJ Brody more recently. And, you know, guys like Dennis Wideman and Chris Russell, they've benefited from that because they get to play most of their shifts in the offensive zone and against secondary lines because Giordano is doing all the heavy lifting. Now, Dougie Hamilton is in town now, and he's capable of taking on the heavy lifting. That's mm-hmm. what he did in Boston recently. So it's going to be spread out among those three. But still, Giordano is certainly one of the most valuable and important players on the team.
The flip side of that is also now at post 30, producing offensive numbers that he has not produced in his career before. I mean, he put another career best up last year. That hand-in-hand with the opposition, that speaks highly of what he is as a hockey player, doesn't it?
You remember last year we were chatting about Norris candidates. I mentioned that before he got hurt, Mark Giordano was sort of my archetype for a Norris candidate because he played all those tough minutes.
Right.
He can produce offensively. He works the power play and the penalty kill. There's like no real aspect of the game where he doesn't excel. And I think that's really the key here is that even if one or two parts of his game might go on the decline as he goes through his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Being a complete player means he's going to continue to provide value.
One last one, Rob, on this, and again, it's kind of, to me, it's part of what makes Mark Giordano special. He is a little bit of an outlier in terms of his offensive production at his age, correct? That traditionally the prime, you know, point-producing years in a player's career have come far before the age of 30, 31.
Yeah, the prime for hockey players. A lot of people think that a player at 27 or 28 is in his prime. I've never seen any study that actually statistically puts the prime past age 25. And I think it's even a little bit younger. I think players pretty much hit their peak around 23 or 24.
Now, is that positional or is that all players in general?
All players in general, although defensemen sometimes take a little bit longer to develop, but it's still in that 24 range, not 28 and certainly not 30.
With Rob Volman from HockeyAbstract.com. He joins us every Wednesday for our Hockey Abstract segment. Let's leave Mark Giordano, take a look at a couple other contracts that have been signed here in the last week. Quietly, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about this, but Christian Ehrhoff signing a one-year deal with the Los Angeles Kings. Your thoughts on what the value is for the Kings in this deal and what they're getting?
Well, the Kings badly needed a defenseman. That was pretty much their biggest problem last year. Even with Drew Doughty playing pretty much half of every single game and working power play, penalty kill, and everything, Drew Doughty was just a machine out there. They've desperately needed a defenseman. They picked up Andre Sekera at last year's trade deadline. That really wasn't a perfect fit. Now they're going to try Christian Ehrhoff. But because of their cap difficulties, of course, Ehrhoff was the best they can do. He signed for a tremendous discount. I think it was $1.5 million, mm-hmm. which is a tremendous discount, which makes me think that perhaps there may still be questions about his health. But if he's healthy, Ehrhoff is a legitimate top four defenseman who can play two-way minutes. He can play on both special teams. He can contribute some offense. He can drive possession. We've talked about possession numbers.
Yep.
And he can certainly take on near the top opponents and his share of defensive zone responsibility.
Does he fit the profile of an LA Kings player in the, you know, I don't look at him as being overly physical and the Kings have that reputation, but I just wonder if you look beyond that, does he fit what they're all about?
Well, I'm not sure the Kings really fully deserve that reputation. I think they have a few players that are crashers and bangers.
Yep.
But their top players like Anshay Kopitar and so on. I mean, not everyone has to be a crusher and banger.
Sure.
I've always seen them as more of a possession team where they just focus on keeping possession of the puck and then knocking the opponents off of their possession. So if someone else maybe knocks the player off possession, Ehrhoff is the sort of player that can keep it.
Another contract, and speaking of the Kings, a former member of the Kings signing with the New York Rangers, and that's Jarrett Stoll. And you were telling me kind of a funny story about, you know, Stoll's, I think it's an $800,000 contract somewhere in there, and a lot of feedback to you saying, well, Rob, you must like this deal. This deal must be exactly what you've been preaching, but that's not necessarily the case, is it?
Yeah, because earlier when you had me on, we talked about what a great job, say, the Toronto Maple Leafs were doing, attracting really low-cost, low-risk players like P.A. Peronto and so on.
Value picks.
And so everyone felt, hey, well, here's another one. Here's another perfect example, you know, Jarrett Stoll. But no, because if you look at Jarrett Stoll, his numbers, with the exception of Chris Neal, nobody takes more penalties than he draws per minute than Jarrett Stoll. I went back about 6 or 7 years. He's taken almost 200 minor penalties while drawing over 100. So he really puts the team in a hole. He throws a lot of hits. He wins a few faceoffs. But he's giving the other team like several extra power plays over the course of a season, and that could actually bite you in the bottom.
Is there a tendency to be one more penalty than another? I mean, is he an interference guy? Is he a tripping guy? Are they roughing calls? Is there anything that jumped out at you that way?
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, the Los Angeles Kings. I mean, they're a very gritty team. They throw a lot of hits. And you take a look at a guy like Dustin Brown on that team, the captain of the Kings.
Sure.
He draws more penalties than almost anyone in the NHL. And I think there's a price to pay for that. The refs watch a little bit more carefully. And I think maybe a player like Jarrett Stoll was actually getting hurt by the fact that Dustin Brown was maybe drawing more than he was taking.
With Rob Volman from HockeyAbstract.com, also one of the contributors at ESPN, and you wrote a column today about how the Maple Leafs finally spent wisely by hiring a top-tier coach. You know, we spent all this time with analytics and numbers looking at the players. We don't necessarily spend enough time talking about coaches, do we?
And that boggles me. That boggles my mind. You go to the store, you buy one of those magazines, they break down the goaltending and the special teams and the face-off and the shootout and every aspect of that team in careful detail, and they don't say anything about the coaching. In my view, the coaches can have a greater impact than virtually anyone on the team except possibly the goalie and the franchise player. And so teams like Toronto that have made a priority out of getting a guy like Mike Babcock as their head coach and even Jacques Lemaire as the special assignment coach, I think that's going to have a bigger impact than if they had spent that same time and money and effort recruiting, say, one more average free agent.
I know that I've asked you this question before, but what about analytics? Are there statistics that we can specifically tie to coaches?
Yeah, I came up with a very simple coaching stat 6 years ago, which was based on how well teams do relative to expectations and then sort of giving the coach credit for that. And I didn't have very high sort of, I guess I could say, expectations on that statistic, but I've noticed over the 6 years that the coaches that start the season at the top of the league are like 4 to 5 times more likely to make the conference finals, whereas a below average coach is way more likely to get fired by the season's end. So obviously it has some predictive signal to it. Obviously it is possible to identify the good coaches from the bad coaches in advance, and that the difference between a good coach and a bad coach, it's not trivial. It's quite meaningful.
What about experience, Rob? I mean, you know, it's not uncommon for a young coach to come up and maybe, like a Guy Boucher, came up and had a terrific impact early on with Tampa, but soon enough he was, you know, it wasn't working and he's out of there. Does age, does experience come into this conversation?
I think so, which is one of the reasons I like what Buffalo did. I mean, I know I singled out Toronto in that ESPN piece.
Right.
But Buffalo, I think, had a big upgrade, first of all, going from Ted Nolan to Dan Bylsma as their head coach. But they also picked up Terry Murray as his assistant. And Terry Murray is one of the most experienced coaches in the NHL. And, of course, I don't like to just lean on the NHL because there's lots of coaches that have a world of experience in, say, the AHL or the Canadian Juniors or in U.S. colleges. And I think that experience can be valuable as well.
Dude, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Hockey season is right around the corner. I would be remiss if I didn't once again thank you for coming out and being part of our camp again this year. You've done it before. You did it again, and you were a huge help. Rob, we want to encourage everybody to check out your site, Hockey Abstract, and remind everybody you have a PDF update on the online right now, right?
Yeah, if you've enjoyed either of my previous two books, I released a PDF update, all the updated charts and tables. It's only $10. It's a download. And if you don't have the previous two books, I actually have a total package where you can download both books and the update, all for one price, $30.
Simple as that. Rob, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for doing this, bud.
All right. See you, buddy.
There you go. Rob Ullman from HockeyAbstract.com. He's one of the good ones. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to spend some time with members of the Calgary Inferno, the CWHL team here in our city. They've got a big, big event coming up on Saturday down at the Dome. They've just held their draft. There's lots going on. It's been a big summer, I would say, maybe even beyond that for women's sports. We'll get into that. Very pleased that Jenna Cunningham can spend some time and Jeff Stevenson from the Inferno. That's coming up next. Reminder, tomorrow morning between 7 and 8 o'clock, Ken King on this very radio station. I'll be there with him. We're going to take your phone calls on the Calgary Next Project. If you got questions, we want to hear from you. We are also hoping to have Ken join us next week in the afternoon. I think you got to have conversation. I think the questions have got to be asked from people in Calgary. So we're looking forward to doing that tomorrow between 7 and 8 o'clock. And, of course, Bruce and I are going to be live from Winsport immediately following the Jays and the Rangers tomorrow afternoon. We'll be live at Winsport for the Canadian Hockey Canada's National Sledge Team Development Camp. Our old pal Ken Babby is in charge of that. So we got a lot to do here in the next couple of days on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sports is really important to you. It's all we do all the time. Proud to serve the best fans in Canada. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show, brought to you by Comedy Cave. If it's comedy you crave, come to The Cave. Tickets are always $10. Comedy's so good you'll whip out your funny bone. Go to ComedyCave.com.